This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. TV comedies have changed through the years to both reflect and influence current American culture. University of Cincinnati Electronic Media Department adjunct professor Nick Belperio teaches a course titled The Evolution of Television Comedy. And the course explores the history of American TV comedy and the impact sitcoms have had on society. And Nick joins us along with WVXU radio and TV reporter John Kieswetter. What's your favorite sitcom and what sitcom do you think has been the most influential? Give us a call and let us know. 513-419-7100. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And John and Nick, thank you so much for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Nick, tell us a little bit about your background in TV before we get started on the discussion here. It's pretty extensive.
Well, before I started teaching at UC, I worked in television for 25 years. I worked here in Cincinnati as a writer-producer at Channel 12 twice and at Channel 9 once. And then I was creative director at Channel 19 for almost 4 years. And from Channel 19, I was hired to be vice president of affiliate marketing at Fox Broadcasting in Los Angeles. So I worked in Los Angeles for 16 years. I left there almost about 3.5 years ago. I left there as a senior vice president of marketing and spent a lot of time trying to figure out what makes people watch television. And then I retired a few years ago and got the opportunity to teach at UC. And I grew up here. I'm a local boy. I grew up right up the road in Green Hills. And I was thrilled to come back. And
you graduated from NKU, right?
I graduated from NKU, yeah.
So why a class on sitcoms?
Well, it came out of a conversation I was having with John Owens, who is the head of the electronic media department at CCM. And I was super caffeinated one day, and we were talking about how television kind of doesn't get a lot of respect. People tend to kind of look down on it sometimes, especially sitcoms. And I was just kind of riffing on the notion that in the future, I think you could look back at TV sitcoms and they would hold up to rigorous academic scrutiny, and that sitcoms reflect and kind of simultaneously influence our culture in a way that no other art form does. And we were talking, and John said to me, why don't you put together a syllabus? And I started thinking of TV shows and what was important and what was significant about them. And this is now the third semester I'm teaching the course.
So Nick, when you teach this course, what are most of the sitcoms, comedies? There's probably, I think, about 50 on your syllabus or more.
I think we watched 52 last semester.
Are your students familiar with most, any? You know, with cable, many of these are still on the air.
Yeah. Students are familiar with a lot of the contemporary ones, of course. And the big ones, like I Love Lucy, All in the Family, Seinfeld, Friends, of course, if they haven't seen them, they know about them. They've heard of them. You know, a lot of the students are media students too, and so they have some background in this. But honestly, the shows from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, most of them haven't seen most of the episodes we watch.
And when you talk about sitcoms, it's really two different lists. One is the greatest or the funniest of all time, and the other might be the most influential. That might not be the same show at the top of both of those lists.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we look at them in a number of different ways. It's kind of hard to say what's the greatest or the best of all time, because that could be in terms of popularity and ratings. It could be in terms of innovation, all of those things. And so we also try to look at the significance of them. Maybe not shows that were necessarily personal, or I'm sorry, necessarily popular, but that in some way or other have been influential. And also, it's really fun to introduce them to shows they just haven't heard of. And it's great to discover some of those shows too, because I haven't seen everything, and I've learned a ton in researching and teaching this class.
Yeah, you mentioned I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
So let's start way back in TV sitcom history, 1950s, and let's hear this from I Love Lucy.
Answer to all your problems is in this little bottle.
Not to mention that it contains lots of alcohol. I think if you're over 50, you're probably very familiar with that particular piece from I Love Lucy.
And we're sitting in here laughing out loud.
Mm-hmm. And no matter how many times I see this, I laugh at this because mm-hmm. she gets drunk on live TV because she keeps taking swigs of the vitamin supplement. it's just an amazing.
It's really remarkable to watch it kind of objectively. Lucy, this is one of the things that always surprises me when I watch I Love Lucy, is how beautiful she is. And she was an amazingly beautiful woman, and I don't think we...
She was in movies before she started
yeah,
TV,
she
wasn't
was,
she?
Yeah, she was kind of in, I think, in the chorus of some musicals, and she was kind of a B actress.
She did a Marx Brothers movie, but she was a straight woman in it.
Yeah, yeah, and she was incredibly beautiful, and that was always kind of underemphasized in that series over the comedy. But in that episode, particularly, as she gets increasingly sloshed on air... It's very broad, but it's also really detailed and nuanced. And, I've seen it a dozen times, and it lands every single time. It's there's a reason she's the Titan.
But also that show, I mean, and what you could teach your students, there's a format. They use three cameras and the recording, and there's many elements that they hit on early on in the, like, 50, 51 that's still used today.
Well, I think if you were going to... If you're going to talk about the most influential series, I think I Love Lucy has to be up there because not only did it pioneer that three-camera format, but, I mean, they were a revolutionary couple. They were an interracial couple on television in the 50s. Desi Arnaz routinely speaking Spanish on television in the 50s, right? But on top of that, they almost single-handedly moved the television industry from New York to Los Angeles. They founded Desilu Studios. They insisted that every episode of I Love Lucy be recorded on film, which is why we have such beautiful copies to watch now. They kind of pioneered that. That they made that regular. They insisted that there was a studio audience at every for every taping, right? And so they innovated all of these different aspects that are still at play now today.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. And let's talk to Dave in Westchester. Hi, Dave.
Hi. I grew up on cartoon situation comedies like The Flintstones. Of course, I watched All Family. But in reflecting on the influence on me, I have a sarcastic sense of humor, self-deprecatory, and sort of negative. And I'm wondering whether these situation comedies have had that kind of an influence on the culture at large.
Do sitcoms make us more cynical? Was that the question?
Yeah. And I mean, we're at the height of cynicism, I think, in our society today. And I'm wondering whether that kind of humor contributes to that, or television has contributed to that. I may be overgeneralizing about the content of situation comedies, but that's how I view them.
I've never really given that any thought, but now that I do, you know, I think characters like Jackie Gleason's Ralph Cramden, right? That kind of bickering relationship he has with his wife, right? And that, you know, kind of id splatting all over the place and that kind of thing. I think characters like that, like Archie Bunker, right? I think they do contribute to kind of the way we talk to each other sometimes. I think that was one of the things that was radical about All in the Family, is it felt like we were hearing actual conversations that people would have in the privacy of their home, and not necessarily the most admirable qualities. So I'm not sure. I mean, I think television for a long time has been accused of coarsening the culture.
Usually it's a Jerry Springer show, though.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not saying there's not an argument for that, but I'm not sure. You know, I'm thinking about the Flintstones. I'm a huge fan of the Flintstones. We watch the Flintstones in my class.
Actually, what I think about the Flintstones is the Flintstones and all their movie star references, and then you look at The Simpsons 30 years later and all the TV and culture references that really there was a bit of groundwork laid by the Flintstones.
There's a real through line there from Jackie Gleason as Ralph Cramden to Fred Flintstone to Archie Bunker to characters like George Costanza. Right, those people that we just kind of wait to explode.
Well, how many times did you find yourself saying, like, either George or Archie, you would say, I've got a family member who's like that. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
I recognize somebody in my own family who's like this.
Yes, and even now, if you watch All in the Family, which is deliberately provocative, mm-hmm. you know, It's uncomfortable. There were episodes that I did not want to show in class. I just didn't feel comfortable putting some of that out there in the classroom. But I think it does put the viewer in kind of an uncomfortable position because you're laughing at him, but it's not – but you're also kind of laughing with him. And that can be a little uncomfortable. It's one of the things that makes All in the Family so great.
Well, I think it was what Norman Lear intended when he created that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, you mentioned The Simpsons. Let's hear something from The Simpsons.
Homer, we need something to protect this family.
I couldn't agree more, Marjorie. You deserve peace of mind, and peace of mind is what you shall have. I'd like to buy your deadliest gun, please.
Aisle 6, next to the sympathy cards. Whoa, careful there, Annie Oakley.
I don't have to be careful. I got a gun.
Okay, so here we have The Simpsons, which seems to be a show that pokes fun at everything.
And everybody.
Everybody.
In every way. Yeah.
And it still is fresh and it's still as funny 20 years later. It's amazing.
I think it's 28th season now.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, I think it's 28th season on
1990,
the air.
I think.
And one of the things that is really gratifying and fun about teaching this class is that as we get into later sitcoms, we start to study sitcoms that I worked on when I was at the network at Fox. So I worked on the marketing of The Simpsons for 16 seasons. And so having been in those meetings and discussions at the network, I'm able to kind of talk to the students about those things too, which is, I think, an unusual perspective for them. But having worked on those shows so closely, I'm a believer. I think if you were to ask me what's the greatest of all time, I would probably say The Simpsons.
And why?
Well, partly because it's animated and animated shows can do anything. There's no limitation on an animated series. They can go anywhere. They can do anything. They can – and The Simpsons has gone from 2D to 3D and hallucinated all over the place. And, you know, it's remarkable when you think of the universe that is created in The Simpsons. And the huge number of really distinct characters that we know. And they're so much part of the culture now. And I think maybe one of the benchmarks for greatness in a sitcom is consistency. And I know that there are people who lurk online talking about certain seasons the real life version is a comic book guy, right? Worst season ever, right? People love to say that. But I think generally speaking, The Simpsons has been really consistent.
And they can be consistent also. You mentioned animation because the kids didn't age. I mean, you had that problem with the Cosby, even going back to My Three Sons where the kids aged and they needed to repopulate the sitcom.
That's one of the problems with kids on TV.
And the other thing I go back to President Bush, it might have been Bush 41, who made some remark about The Simpsons at the State of the Union address.
I think
and the Simpsons, Bart came back with a line the following Sunday because, you know, the lips just flap. You can put in any kind of voice track you want to.
I'm not sure I'm right about this, but I'm pretty sure the president's comment was that they're not the Waltons. I think it was something, this was not Dan Quayle going after Murphy Brown, which was a whole other thing, but I think that's what it was, like, not the Waltons in a bad way, right?
And sitcoms, we always think of these as being funny, but they can deal with social issues too.
Mm-hmm. Right?
They can take on controversial, difficult topics, and mm-hmm. some of them handle it very, very well. We have a clip from Blackish that I'd like to play.
It's important in the midst of all the public vilifying of the police department, whose members acted completely within procedure, to remember Mr. McQuillan was no angel.
What
does that mean?
Why would they even say that? What does that even mean?
They're talking about somebody's child. That could easily be one of these children here.
That could have been one of us.
No, yes. Sweetie, no. Because if you get stopped by the cops, you are going to do exactly what they say, okay?
She's right. Listen to me. If you have to talk to the cops, there's only 7 words you need to know. Yes, sir. No, sir, and thank you, sir.
Exactly. You make sure you live to fight your case in court. You hear me?
Oh, mama! Enough!
Wake up!
Let's say they listen to the cops and get in the car. Look what happened to Freddie Gray.
Yeah, and what if they make it all the way to the station?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Sandra Bland?
And let's say they do make it to trial.
Mm-hmm.
You see where that gets us? Don't you get it, Bo? The system is rigged against us.
Maybe it is, Dre. But I don't want to feel like my kids are living in a world that is so flawed that they can't have any hope.
Wow.
Yeah. So Nick, you show this one in your class.
I do.
What do you tell students when you show them this?
That episode of Black-ish is very recent. It aired in February 2016, so it's just about a year old. And it's part of a lecture about how sitcoms handle controversy. This particular episode, the family is sitting on a couch. They're all watching television, and they're waiting to see if an indictment is handed down for police brutality. And this discussion ensues about the conversation that African-American and Latino families have with their kids about the police. And it is a very pointed discussion and remarkably balanced. In the course of this episode, the characters mention Cincinnati and the very high-profile case on the UC campus. That feels personal to our students. And it really brings home to them, I think, how agile sitcoms can be. And because there is nothing like a sitcom to reflect what is happening in the culture, and Black-ish has really taken up that mantle. They have done recent episodes that comment on the election and the campaign and things like that. I kind of put the episodes out there and let the students draw their own conclusions from them. In that lecture as well, we do the Black-ish episode. We also watch the episode where Maude had an abortion. And this was 1970-71. That episode aired shortly before Roe versus Wade was handed down.
And Maude was another Norman Lear production, wasn't it?
Right.
So he was always pushing the envelope.
Yes, and Maude definitely did it. We also show the episode when Ellen comes out of the closet, which is was another huge controversy at the time. If you remember, this was, I think, 96, 97. And when she ended up losing her television show ultimately. So it's, you know, it's part of that lecture. And it's really interesting to see how television sitcoms, almost more than anything else, can reflect what's happening in the culture. And you see that starting in the 70s. And I think that's one of the things that Norman Lear broke open with, what is allowable to discuss on television. That's really what All in the Family is known for and was so groundbreaking, that all of a sudden we are talking about really uncomfortable personal things that in sitcoms that traditionally had been 22 minutes of laugh track, all of a sudden there are very serious moments. There's an episode of All in the Family much later in the season in which Edith Bunker is raped. And I remember watching this as a kid, and
that had a lot of impact.
It's devastating. And she says to this rapist, she says before they go to black, "Can we do this without kissing?" And it was.
I have to ask you, because we're running out of time, though.
Yeah.
Is there any more evolution to come for TV sitcoms? What do you think in terms of they've definitely evolved over the decades? So.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's one of the great things about them is that they do constantly change. And there are a lot of new sitcoms now that we're starting to show in class, a lot of sitcoms that are web series or shorter, less traditional series, like Halal and the Family. The episodes are 6-7 minutes long, right? That seems to be the future. With Netflix and Amazon and those originals, that has blown open the way sitcoms are produced and tell stories as well.
John and Nick, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
University of Cincinnati Electronic Media Department Adjunct Professor Nick Belperio and WVXU Radio and TV reporter John Kieswetter. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org.